This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
What's up, nerds? Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That's the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, Raj, not the Pell Shenzoil line. That would be ridiculous.
I'm dyslexic.
That's right. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let me give you some straight talk. Two things from last night's game. Justin Herbert is for real. That's number one. There's a new quarterback, young ascending quarterback star in the NFL. And two, no team except for maybe the Falcons can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory like the Los Angeles Chargers. It still sounds ridiculous to call them the Los Angeles Chargers. Can I just call them the San Diego Chargers, please? No, I have to call them Los Angeles Chargers? I'm still going to call them the San Diego Chargers. How do you like that? No? I mean, let me tell you the thing about Herbert. Not only can he do all the things a quarterback is supposed to be able to do, and he's 6'6". He needed to make a pass to put them in field goal range. And he did it, and it was beautiful. With touch. Not only can he throw the ball down the field, he can throw on the run, but he does it with touch. He can thread the needle. That's the thing about the simulcast. I had something in my teeth. It comes right on. Right as I pick my teeth, Raj. I can't take it. Take that camera off me so I can pick my teeth, for crying out loud. Anyway. Justin Herbert can do it all as a quarterback, but most impressive for me, for a 21-year-old, you absolutely must make this throw to put him in field goal range to win the game, and you do it. Not your fault the field goal kicker kicked it off the upright. And then in overtime, look, I know the defense is going to give you -1 yards that you need. Whatever you need to give you, they're going to make sure you're in front of that situation or behind it, whatever. And so Justin Herbert, did he take the bait? I don't know. He completed a pass where if the receiver makes a play, gets a yard after the catch, there's a good chance that the Chargers win the game. That's a very impressive young quarterback. Let's not forget, a couple years ago, he was the presumptive number one overall pick. He regressed a little bit, and suddenly a little of the shine was off, a little of the luster was off. And, you know, the shiny new toys, right? Tua and Joe Burrow, and you kind of forget about Justin Herbert. But I remember talking to people a couple years ago, 3 years ago at this point, should the Giants tank to get Justin Herbert? He's showing you why, boy. This guy is 21 years old and playing with this kind of poise. And consider the quarterbacks that he's faced so far. And these guys had to make comebacks on him. I know he's got a defense. I get it. But so far he's played Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Wasn't even supposed to start. Tyrod Taylor winds up with a punctured lung. That's why this kid's even starting, and he's a kid. Faces Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Let me ask you something. Did he belong there with those guys in those games? Forget about their names. If you were just watching those games, would you say he was out of his league? I tell you the truth, he wasn't the worst quarterback among those four. He fits comfortably with them. Very small sample size, I get it, but that is impressive. If you could redo the draft just based on what you know at the moment, would Herbert be the third picked out of those three guys? Not fair to Tua, I get it. He hasn't played, really. Would you take Justin Herbert third, or maybe you take him second? Would you take him over Joe Burrow? It's a legitimate question, the way he's played so far. Meantime, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, Stephen Jones, talking about Dak as part of their long-term plans. I hate to say it, and Dak has been through personal hell the last couple years, losing his brother. And then, like, by the way, this injury, after he turned down a $100-plus million contract from the Cowboys' point of view, kind of worked out for them. I hate to say it. It kind of worked out for them. The fact of the matter is, this is like a brutal sport, and the successful franchise really look at the players as commodities. The job of a GM in football, more than anything, is properly priced commodities. That's it. That includes draft picks and what that's worth, and players. Put a dollar sign on it. Let's assume for a second Dak Prescott makes a full recovery from this injury and returns as the same player next year. Right? 4 to 6 months means next season. That's a bit of an assumption, but let's say he does. Barring infection or anything like that, or some psychological repercussions where he's favoring, you know, or he's scared to play the same kind of way. I think there's a pretty good chance he does, right? And if you're the Cowboys, do you have to even offer him the same contract? You kind of don't. Worked out for the Cowboys in a way. Of course, you have other teams who might be looking at their quarterbacks going, Dak Prescott would look pretty good in this uniform, including 49ers right now, maybe the Browns right now, right? If a guy like Dak was available. Still, you'd think that he's going to come at a discount coming off the injury. Wait, do we have sound on this, Raj? I want it. No, right, it's just the quote. That's it. I mean, it's a full contact sport. There's risk. $100+ million. And by the way, they wanted to pay him in line with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, but not like they don't want to reset the market. He's not Patrick Mahomes. And I get that, and I understand why his agent may want to, you know, make sure that he gets a shorter deal so they can re-up when the salary cap goes up and take advantage of that. But not just in retrospect, at the time, wasn't that pretty bad advice? That's pretty bad advice. This is football's, every play could be your last. What do you really, like, if you could get that extra year and re-up 1 year earlier, considering Dak's age, you are going to re-up the following year anyway for the same deal. Just for waiting one extra year where you're making $30 million instead of being able to re-up for $40 million, like, what did you really do by avoiding that one extra year with the Cowboys? Think that you made an extra $10 million, let's say? No, it's $10 million a year. No, it's not, because when this contract's up, you'd sign the same contract next time that takes advantage of the salary cap rising. So to make that extra $10 million in that year, you're going to risk the whole bag? Except for the franchise tag? Why would you do that? Why might an agent do that? Talking to people around the league, you know, set things up for the next client? Try to set precedent on shorter deals. Feel bad for Dak, especially since Andy Dalton is pretty good. He's pretty good. He's not Dak Prescott, but he's pretty good. And now they're going to start playing the NFC East, which means they're going to win some games. And if the other team you have to compete with in the NFC East is Carson Wentz? You got to be kidding me. Let's put it this way. Carson Wentz is not the reason the Eagles lost the other day. But he needs to be the reason they win. And sure enough, when you absolutely can't turn the football over, down 10 points and driving, Carson Wentz turns it over. Situational football. How hard is that? I don't think the Eagles, I think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs with Andy Dalton this year. I mean, the fact of the matter is Wentz, I said last year, he's a top 15 quarterback. He's not elite. Like, everyone's like, oh, yes, he is elite. I was like, wait, are you watching? When Wentz goes up against these sorry NFC East teams, every other quarterback in the NFC East, and they're all sorry, does better than Wentz does. Winning on a wing and a prayer. I thought Wentz was in decline last year, but this year, this is literal now. Every single quarterback Wentz has faced has statistically done better than him. So the Cowboys are in a situation without Dak now playing the rest of this sorry division. I think they're going to make the playoffs with Andy Dalton as the quarterback. That doesn't do anything for Dak's leverage going forward, coming off a gruesome injury and missing a year. So Justin Herbert, good situation right now. Dak, not so much. That's the straight talk, Raj. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Jeff Passan, ESPN's MLB insider, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Jeff, good of you to come on. What can you tell me about Clayton Kershaw?
First off, Max, your usage of the word sorry is fantastic. And it's
how?
A vastly underused term. It's beautiful the way you just weaved it in right there, because there is nothing sorrier than the NFC East.
There's nothing sorrier than the NFC East.
Other than maybe Clayton Kershaw's back.
Aren't you a Kansas City Chiefs fan?
My kids are Chiefs fans. I'm sort of an impartial observer.
I see. But your kids are Chiefs fans. It's good to be a Chiefs fan right now. Even with that, like, they weren't going to go undefeated. They were going to lose a couple games. Okay, so a divisional game, a surprising win by the Raiders. Your kids are living the life. Can you imagine? How old are your kids, Jeff?
They are 13 and 8. There is no better time to be a fan of a particular team. I don't care what sport it is, than to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan right now, knowing that you have potentially the greatest quarterback of all time locked up for the next.
Could you imagine being 13 years old and you're raised a Chiefs fan? Oh my God. Right now, for the foreseeable future, you are on easy street. All right, Jeff, tell me about Clayton Kershaw.
You know, Max, this is something that goes back almost half a decade. Clayton Kershaw had a herniated disc in 2016, missed 10 weeks, back flared up again in 17 and 18. If you remember, opening day this year, he was supposed to be starting for the Dodgers against the Giants, got scratched, and Dustin May started because of a back issue. So when this sort of thing crops up, it is certainly for concern for the Dodgers, because they were expecting Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw to provide them innings over these first two games. So whether it was Tony Gonsolin, Dustin Mayer, Julio Urias over games 3, 4, and 5, they could get some more innings out of their bullpen. They had to move up Gonsolin now because Kershaw got scratched, and that really throws their pitching into question. They are hopeful that they'll be able to get Kershaw back over the next couple of days. But when it comes to the back, you know, it's just a matter of when you wake up in the morning, how does it feel? Is it good enough to go? Is there pain? Is it tight? All of these questions are yet to be answered. We're really not going to know, I think, until the next couple of mornings, what his status is.
I don't care if you have to give this guy an epidural. They got to do what they have to do, Jeff. I mean, when you look at the Dodgers, whenever they've won the World Series in the modern era, okay, so how do you want to define that? Let's say since they've been in Los Angeles. Sandy Koufax, the greatest prime of all time, demonstrably better in the postseason, back then just the World Series, a .95 ERA. They win World Series. Not to mention Drysdale, but Koufax was the guy. You go forward to 81, Fernando Valenzuela was a big-game pitcher. Jeff, he consistently pitched his best in the playoffs. Like, not just by memory, but you go back and look at the record. Valenzuela rose to the occasion. 88, Hershiser sets the... Didn't Hershiser break Whitey Ford's consecutive scoreless inning streak in the World Series record in 88 when they won? I'm pretty sure he did, but the point is big game pitching. And Kershaw, Jeff, Kershaw, who had a stretch of 4 or 5 years where the only lefties to be that dominant, that consistently excellent... in recent years, Johan Santana, I'd say Kershaw was even better. And then you got to like go back to Koufax to find a lefty to do that. But he has consistently not performed up to expectations in the playoffs. And now he's got a bad back. It's like, it's heartbreaking, not just for the Dodgers World Series chances, but for Kershaw, Jeff.
It is, because you're right. I mean, we can throw Steve Carlton in there as well, but Clayton Kershaw has distinguished himself, Max, as one of the best left-handed pitchers of all time during the regular season. Of course, his postseason resume has some pretty gruesome results on it. And he's had success in October, don't get me wrong, but a lot of that success has come in the earlier rounds. Where he really needs to distinguish himself is in the NLCS, in the World Series. And right now, he's not able to do it in the NLCS. And if he's not able to, then the Dodgers' chances of playing in the World Series take a sharp turn the other way. Listen, it's bad enough that they lost Game 1 last night to the Atlanta Braves 5-1. It was a close game. It was a well-pitched game. And then the ninth inning comes along, and the Braves just explode offensively. I think the Dodgers still, if you look at this, feel like they are favorites, even with Clayton Kershaw down. But the depth of their bullpen is really going to be tested, as is Dave Roberts' managerial acumen.
I mean, they're going to have to come up with a starter, the Dodgers, who does what Madison Bumgarner did for a while there, or Josh Beckett when he first pitched in the playoffs, or even a guy who's not the ace, but an El Duque type who can rise to the occasion. They really need that postseason stopper, and they're in the playoffs every year, and they never win the whole thing without it, and I was hoping Kershaw could rewrite some of that script, but a bad back is bad news. Jeff Passan is never bad news. Thank you, of course, as always, for joining me on the show. I'm sure that was brought to you by someone. No one? That was Jeff? Yep. Jeff
you
wasn't sponsored?
Yeah, but you already paid it off. They paid for two. They didn't pay for three.
I see. That's ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. All right, so what have we done so far? There's a lot to get to still, Raj, and I'm really like this whole segment. I've had my mind on one thing, and that's been the Lakers, actually.
Pretty excited, but we got to pay. We got to save it, man. That's
I know. I'm saving it for the next segment. And I got a lot of thoughts on the Lakers, Raj.
But you got one that no one else is saying. I really haven't heard this angle. And
that's right, and this concerns the Knicks, too.
Ooh.
If you're listening in L.A., if you're listening in New York, I got stuff to tell you about this. And by the way, all over the country, I got things to say. Jeannie Buss, the first female owner in the history of the NBA to win a championship. I'm not going to do it right now.
No, you're not. But you know what we did talk about a little bit?
Hold on.
You know, everyone has their Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
You know, and they're doing this with LeBron and the Lakers. But we do a little different. You know, we do it three the hard way.
Three. So quick, instead of four, it's three. It's very clever.
So you got to pick all-time Lakers three the hard way, Max. So, I mean, someone got to go.
I'll do that later. I'm going to do that later. I don't want to do – I'm going to stick out. I'll get into the Lakers later. I'm saving it all. It's all pent up right now.
How can you pick only three Lakers, though? I mean, that means all-time greats are going to be left off.
Of course, but I don't understand why you're so hung up on three the hard way. Mount Rushmore does the same thing. You can't do four, three, so why don't we just do one? Well, who's the greatest Laker? Two, like it's arbitrary. Why do you need three?
No, we got to do three the hard way, man.
It's too easy with the Lakers. With the Lakers, Mount Rushmore. See, you got me talking Lakers. I wanted to wrap up on Monday Night Football.
Nope, give them nibbles, man. This is called tease. But
notice how Drew Brees wasn't in the game when Taysom Hill ran it in. Who was the best quarterback in the game yesterday? And Brady had a great game when he came back on him. I'm just saying. Justin Herbert. By the way, given the way Joe Burrow's looked too, when Tua starts playing, this could be some quarterback class. All right, so Raj, I'm going to get into the Lakers coming up. Justin Herbert was breaking moves last night. He was the first Chargers rookie with four passing touchdowns in a game. LeBron rightfully gets the credit for the Lakers winning number 17, but there's someone else who deserves props, and this will illuminate the success and joy of basketball fans in L.A. and the pain and anguish of basketball fans in New York City. By the way, what if a quarterback completed 4 out of 5 of his passes, or a point guard hit 4 out of 5 shots behind the arc? Well, now when you're hiring, you can play at that level. That's elite level, Raj. Because 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within, how long you think? A week, 4 or 5 days? No, within the first day. ZipRecruiter's matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply to your job. To try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/max, M-A-X. Very important that you do that, ZipRecruiter.com/max, because when you put my name in there, I get credit. It's very important that I get as much credit as possible. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Lakers, while you're thanking LeBron, don't forget to thank someone else. That's coming up on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
It's been a long 10 years, but once more, the Los Angeles Lakers are NBA champions.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Also brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. What's LeBron talking about? I want my damn respect too. Got all the respect in the world. I was running around saying Kawhi is now the best, blah, blah, blah. I came out and said, no excuses. LeBron, I was wrong. You're the best. All along you've been the best. This is the second time I thought the crown went to someone else. I thought Steph Curry in 16 had taken it. After the playoffs, I said, whoops, I'm wrong, LeBron. You were the best all along. I did it again with Kawhi. What's he talking about? I want my damn respect. Does he want people to pretend that he's as good as Michael Jordan? I'm sorry, we're not going to do that, LeBron. It's not out of disrespect. It's actually out of respect for the truth. But damn, outside of Michael Jordan, you're better than everyone else. You and Kareem duking it out for second on the list. That's pretty good. But I wasn't even thinking about LeBron today a lot. I was thinking about Jeannie Buss, the Lakers owner, the first woman to own an NBA franchise that won the championship. First female owner who won a championship in the NBA. I want to tell the story of a family. Because that's what Lakers basketball is. It's family owned. Let me. Getting a little interference when the phone is near my mic, huh? Let me tell you about Dr. Jerry Buss, the patriarch. He wasn't born rich. He didn't have a silver spoon. He worked, you know, divorced mom, moving around. He worked his way to a PhD in chemistry. The reason he started investing in real estate was he liked teaching chemistry. He needed an income. And he's a genius, by the way, obviously. But Dr. Buss didn't inherit anything. He's a really smart, hardworking, and risk-taking guy, like the kind of American entrepreneurship, right? That people talk about. He's a great example of it. And eventually, he worked his way up to being able to buy the Lakers. By the way, and the Lakers, by the way, even in that day, I want to say it was $69 million to buy him from Jack Kent Cook, which in those days, we're talking about late 70s, if you look at even like the real estate market, because a lot of professional sports deals are largely real estate deals, but you could get a house in L.A. that's worth, you know, $10 million now, like literally in the late 70s, a couple hundred grand, maybe not even. Real estate was depressed. There was stagflation in the country and everything. This guy, I want to say the Chrysler building, if memory serves, was involved in the deal for the Lakers. Like they were trading Chrysler building, Lakers, this, that, millions of dollars in cash. Anyway, Dr. Jerry Buss, from nothing, builds his way up to a chemistry PhD, a teaching gig, starts investing with his buddies, pooling money and buying a little commercial property, renting out or real estate, renting out the apartments, builds his way up through the years, 15 years, whatever it was, to buy the Lakers. It's incredible. And the Lakers were a glamour franchise, but not like they were after Dr. Jerry Buss bought them. He understood, I need to sell the glamour of L.A. He made the Lakers games places to be. Now, I want to be very clear. That's almost impossible to do. It's so hard to win in professional sports that whenever you hear an owner say, we also want to be, you think, uh-oh, bad idea. Bad idea. Just concentrate on winning. Don't try to win a certain way. We want to win with pizzazz. We want to win with the you know, guys who are going to sell the tickets. What, you're giving yourself more things to do? No, just try to win. See the Dallas Cowboys, we want to dominate the news. Great. They haven't won in 25 years. Just win. George Steinbrenner liked to win his way with his big flashy, you know, splashy kind of newsmaker players in the 70s. Just like Jerry Jones, it works when you first buy the team and you can spend a lot of money. And then the league catches on and they make rules to stop you from just outspending everyone if you're a tycoon like Jerry Jones or George Steinbrenner. And then you got to figure out how to win like more like everyone else. You still have a financial advantage, but more like everyone else. Then it's not so easy. And eventually Steinbrenner realized, okay, let my baseball people do this stuff and we'll just have a nice team. Like the Yankees of the 90s were not the Bronx Zoo like Steinbrenner liked in the 70s. They were a calm team. Jerry Jones still hasn't won 25 years later. Once they figured out, oh, Jerry, yeah, you put in a salary cap and now you get around the salary cap by prorating signing bonuses. Then, and so you have Deion Sanders. But now we can all do that. And since everyone leveled the playing field, Jerry Jones, no championships. Can't try to win a certain way, right? But Dr. Jerry Buss did. He's the greatest owner by far in the history of American team sports. Drafts Magic Johnson, starts winning championships. And I mentioned the other day that Jeannie Buss deserves, you know, congratulations, Jeannie Buss, you first female owner to win an NBA championship. And I got a lot of stuff on Twitter about, well, she inherited the team. What did she have to do? She got LeBron. First of all, she inherited the team. Let me tell you, let me continue the story. So Dr. Buss, practically on his deathbed, right? But like as the end was coming near, made it clear that he wanted, I always interpreted the way he wanted this structured. Jim Buss is in charge of basketball operations, Jeannie the business, she's really the boss, and different children with different jobs. I think he was using the Lakers, which was a family business, to keep his family together. After he was gone, he wanted Jeannie and Jim to have to work it out, to have a functional franchise. And Jeannie did her best to respect her father's wishes. There were great calls for her to get rid of Jim Buss, who people felt was not doing a good job. And she didn't. She used to come on Max and Marcellus in L.A. and explain why she wouldn't. And it was pretty obvious, right? Her dad wanted this to be this way. She loved her father, great respect for him. She kept Jim Buss on for 4 years. He self-imposed a deadline. If by this date we're not contending for a championship, I'm going to step down. The date came and went. Weren't even making the playoffs. It was time to go. Jeannie got rid of him as in charge of basketball operations. Okay. So that she's now owned the team for 7 years. The first four, she was following her father's wishes to make it a family business. And I always thought Dr. Buss did that because in order for the siblings to make it work, they'd have to love each other. They'd have to communicate. They'd have to be a family. Remember when they made that Chris Paul trade, Jim and Mitch Kupchak pull off this Chris Paul trade, but Jeannie's in New York at the owner meeting. And Jim and Mitch did not take the pulse of the league. That was not the time to, like, it was going to ruffle feathers, in other words. They needed to smooth things out, but because Jeannie and Jim really weren't communicating, they didn't know. They pull off this deal. All the other owners get upset. They're crying about it. And the league undoes the deal. Maybe Dr. Buss would have had a defter touch and pulled it off in a way that the league would have swallowed it instead of rebelled against it. But at any rate, it wasn't working. After 4 years of futility, she gets rid of Jim. Now, that was 3 years ago. Jeannie Buss has owned the team with the handcuffs off for 3 years. She just won a championship in 3 years. And I don't want to hear she inherited the team. You know who else inherited the team? Jim Dolan inherited the team. Jim Dolan's daddy bequeathed him the Knicks. Has it been 3 years and he won a championship? It's been decades, and the Knicks are a pathetic laughingstock. We're going to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and everyone. You got Julius Randle. Julius, at the time I was saying, you better not just wind up with Jimmy Butler. They'd have been lucky to have Jimmy Butler. Look what he just did. Julius Randle, not Kevin Durant.
Man, you cold-blooded, Max. You know the Knicks fans were just listening. They just listened to the story of the Buss family going down memory lane with you. And then, bam, you just blast the Knicks out of nowhere. Man, you cold-blooded.
The point is, I don't want to hear she inherited the team. And then they say, well, it's not just that she inherited the team. It's that she has L.A. Come on, if you have L.A., of course, it's easy. Really? How many times have the Clippers been out of the second round? How many conference finals have the L.A. Clippers even played in? Don't tell me it's just Los Angeles. The Clippers play in the same building as the Lakers. The Clippers, Marcellus used to argue this on Max and Marcellus all the time. Around the league, people wanted to not just pass the torch, carry the torch. They wanted to light their own torch. It would be more significant for many stars to start a legacy of championships with the Clippers in L.A. than just to continue it and be one of the cavalcade of stars with the Lakers. It's not about just being in L.A. They have another competently run team in L.A. Bomber, Doc Rivers, until recently, Kawhi, Paul George, before that, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul. They've never been to a conference finals right there in the same building, right there at Staples. Don't tell me it's inheriting the team. Jim Dolan inherited his team in the number one market in the country, even bigger with more resources than L.A., and they're a pathetic laughingstock joke. Jeannie Buss inherited the team, and 3 years after getting the handcuffs taken off, being a good daughter and a good family member, trying to keep it together, probably a year longer even than she should have, tried to make that work for 4 years when it was absolutely clear it wasn't going to work. She took the handcuffs off, and 3 years later, the Lakers just won the championship. Everyone shut up and just congratulate Jeannie Buss. You wish she owned your team. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Raj really wants to do this. Who's in the all-time top three of the Lakers? It's much easier to do it that way. It's harder to do four, Raj. Axe Max is next. You can't believe everything on social media these days. You can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens, when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. Twice a week. 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Ask Max coming up. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Be a part of the Max Keller. Let me start it again. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation. No, the. on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. By the way, before you do the imaging, Raj, I got to say, I think this advertising has worked on me because I only drink, like, Diet Dr. Pepper or Coke Zero, right? Like, I only drink because I can't do all the sugar. But I was in the car with my kids and yesterday, and we stopped at a fast food place. I won't mention which one because they don't advertise on the show, Raj. And someone got a Dr. Pepper. And all I could think was I could hear my own voice saying an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
Were you guys in Fansville?
I took a sip of that. Yeah, we were driving through Fansville, as a matter of fact. I took a sip of that thing. What? Why does sugar have to be bad for you? But anyway, I swear to you, when this show is over, I'm going to get some Diet Dr. Pepper. I got to have it. The advertising, it worked on me. My own advertising.
Max.
Okay, I got to remember. No doubt or nah, son. Oh, wait, this is something different? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Raj.
Take a call. How about we, what call do you want to take? This is where we take calls, Max. This is your show.
Okay.
We do this
no doubt.
No.
Did I do it right?
No, just go to Leonardo.
Paulie G in South Dakota. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, big fan of yours, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah. Spot on take about Jeannie Buss. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. I just want to touch base on LeBron saying, you know, give him my damn respect.
Yeah.
Maybe professionals don't see this in your line of work because we pay attention to little stuff. We're on social media. We're seeing, you know, these little groups like NBA Uncensored and stuff like that. LeBron's got to be the most disrespected superstar of all time.
What makes you say that? He
can't get that respect from anybody. That's why he's asking for it. I mean, what he's done is nothing short of amazing.
But I mean, when you say disrespect, hold on. Paulie G, when you say disrespect, how are they disrespecting him in these groups? Oh, because we have 10 seconds to get out. He couldn't even answer. I'll take more calls coming up. Saints won on Monday Night Football. We have a new star in the NFL. That was news from Max Kellerman Nation, by the way. Paulie G just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Raj is about to have a heart attack. I figured I did something wrong. Forgot to mention that. All right, we'll get the calls coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.